We're at the throne room of heaven in Revelation chapter 4. And we get a vision of John looking to heaven. And what does he see in heaven?
Jesus.
Yeah, he sees Jesus on the throne and what's going on at the throne. Or the Father with Jesus and what's going on here. It's a worship service. There are creatures there around, and they're worshiping, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They never cease to say this, so it's an incessant worship. Sometimes we, maybe here on earth, we think heaven might be boring or monotonous if it's just worship and praise of God and who He is. And that's fine for us to think, but the creatures in heaven don't think that, and they do what they do. They believe that God is worthy to be praised over and over and over, and so do these living creatures who are there casting crowns before Him, crying out in two ways. And what two ways of worship did we say they worshiped?
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. We looked at that last week. They worship the Lord for two things. What do they worship Him for?
Who He is and what He's done.
Who He is and what He's done. I hope that has helped some of your personal worship time, some of your prayer time and praise time in your own prayer closet. Praise God for who He is. Praise God for what He's done. And that is a great model or a protocol for prayer. Last week, as mentioned, we looked at worshiping in spirit and in truth, and we looked in John chapter 4, Revelation 4, worship, John 4, worship. A way for y'all to remember where some worship passages are. Chapter 4 of John's biggest books are both about worship, or have worship themes in them. Here is the woman at the well, who we know that was interested in a place of worship. Where do we worship? It gives you a mindset of what people were thinking. Remember, Old Covenant, Old Testament worship, they had a place. What was that place called?
Holy of Holies.
What was it?
Holy of Holies.
Yeah, it was the temple with the Holy of Holies there, the presence of God. It was the tabernacle, then it became the temple. But really important to the people was where they worshiped. That was of utmost importance, because you would go to God to worship Him in His place. And then when you get to New Covenant worship, and Jesus is really opening the box of New Covenant here. And if you think of Pandora's box, once you let it out, you can't put it back in. But He's opening the box of the New Covenant here and saying, look, it's not where so much as how you worship.
It's like an accessibility.
Yeah.
Look at what happened to the Old Testament folks who touched the ark, for instance. Yep. What did they do? God smote them.
Zapped them.
But look at the people who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. There was a difference between the two. There was a contrast between the Old Testament and New Testament approach to God. One was reverence, and it was set aside for a select person. The other was open to all. Come in. So it was very different.
McGee. Alistair McGee?
No.
Oh.
Dr. McGee.
Okay. Vernon.
Yes.
The old school.
You've been hanging with
Hilton's McGee.
He's a big help.
That's good. Yeah. So you've got this new covenant. You've got a different focus of worship, not the where. Did y'all know that you don't have to be in church to worship God? Did y'all know that? Mind-blowing, isn't it, Carson? Mind-blowing. But here's my question. How many of you did worship God outside of church this week? Right? So it might be one of those where you go, yeah, I know that, but I don't really act on that. So I want to encourage you, find places and consistent ways to worship God outside of the church. It's not the where, it's the how. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Raise your hands. Praise God while you're walking or while you're doing whatever you do. Find ways to lift up God's name. Bow your face. lay prostrate before God. However you need to worship God, do that. But worship God in the how, in spirit and in truth. So briefly, what is worshiping God in spirit?
Having your heart in the right place.
Okay. It's Holy Spirit wrought. It comes internally. It's not necessarily, am I raising my hands? Am I on my face? It's an internal eruption. I love that idea of an eruption, like a volcano. It's worship is an eruption. I'm erupting with something because of something, and that brings the second half of worship, which is worship in spirit and what?
Truth.
Truth. So what does the eruption come from? It comes from the truth that you understand about God. That's why it's essential to know God's word when we're going to worship. So, Abby, when you are trying to worship God, don't just try to make up stuff or try to get excited from some music. You're trying to find some real truth about who God is that gives you great joy and erupts into worship. There's a difference. But that's what Jesus was saying, worship in spirit and truth. I've got a couple of videos that I would like to watch and discuss a little bit this morning by two somewhat influential people in my spiritual journey. One of them is, they're both Johns. Who's this guy?
Johnny
P. John Piper. And this guy? Johnny Mack. John MacArthur. These guys have been an influence in me, and I'm going to start with John MacArthur. He starts with a question, and I'm going to pause it if I can time it right. And I hope we have internet. I didn't check our internet this morning.
It says working offline at the top.
Working offline. It sure does. I may have to connect to my phone. Oh, I'm going to lose my Apple Play. If not...
I'm connected.
You're connected?
Hit play. See what happens.
Come on, play.
We have new Wi-Fi.
We have to open up.
Do we have new Wi-Fi?
It's faster.
Oh, they brought them over?
Yeah.
I hope it works better because...
They called last week. They realized we wouldn't get the speeds that we would pay for.
did it download good this week?
You were getting like 1/300th of what we get at home.
All right, here we go.
No, 1/3,000.
But he changed that on Friday.
Yeah, an interesting question is asked. Is worship or praise intended to stimulate our feelings, our emotions, or our minds, or both?
Right? There's your question. Did you hear it?
No.
I'll ask it again.
There's a lot of rolling around.
Yeah, an interesting question is asked. Is... worship or praise intended to stimulate our feelings, our emotions, or our minds, or both?
Is worship intended to stimulate our feelings, emotions, or our minds, or both? You don't have to answer right away.
I think it is a trick question.
It's both?
Yeah.
Why?
Lord, with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, right. Strength. It includes all that.
Anybody else?
But I think if you end up with just the feelings part of it, if you get an emotional high but you're not worshiping with your mind, then there's a negativity to that. That's a self-centered, you're worshiping for yourself. Worship's not for you. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be the other way around, like the worship or the spirit and truth stimulates the worship?
Yeah.
The intended thing.
Okay. Let's see what Johnny Mack says. Y'all think about that. I hope you've got some kind of, you're thinking through how does worship, so I'll read the question again.
Yeah, an interesting question is asked. Is... worship or praise intended to stimulate our feelings, our emotions, or our minds, or both? That's an interesting question. Let me give a simple answer. Worship is not supposed to stimulate our emotions. Let's reverse it. Worship is where the mind, understanding the truth, activates the emotions in praise and adoration and love toward God. So the point of the music is not to stimulate the emotions. The point of the music is to give an opportunity for the emotions to react to the mind and the understanding. People used to say, you at Grace Church, you don't have a lot of worship, do you? Because you preach an hour. And my answer was, you can't worship unless you understand the truth. I can walk into church and I can tell you in 5 minutes by the music and the attitude of the people what they understand doctrinally, what they understand biblically, what they don't understand. Music that is just driven at their emotions is a false form of worship, not a legitimate one. But where you have people doctrinally informed who understand the deep and glorious truths of Scripture, the music becomes then a reflection of that. They're not interested in the 7-Eleven songs saying the same seven words 11 times. They're not interested in feelings. They're interested in giving voice to the truth, to the profound doctrines that they know in their heart. And that's the reverse of most attempts at worship, where there is an effort, turn down the lights, make it dark, blow smoke in the room, and have people pounding away at a high level of decibels so that people are literally physically as well as emotionally being stimulated. And in most cases, it's whatever they are saying, mindless. Music should be the truth given voice from the heart in an emotional response. So what must prevail is an ordered, thoughtful understanding of the truth. And that is why, in the history of the church, hymns always play such a high level of importance. Because they contain sound doctrine, the lasting hymns. And so we are giving voice to our theology when we sing those hymns. That's what worship should be.
All right, agree or disagree? Jeff's got a yes. Looks like an agree.
I've been in churches before, the 7-Eleven churches, Stephen, you probably experienced some of those, and the drums get louder and the singing gets louder, and it's to stir up that emotion.
Some churches, it's like a whole concert.
Yeah. Or the cymbals and triangles at prayer time to, jingle and jangle everything.
I had a conversation with a guy. I had lunch with a guy that I meet with regularly on Thursday, and we had a discussion about this very thing. And he kind of brought a different perspective to it. And he said, so let me back up and say, I think what he says is very good, because it brings us, and I think you get to the place of emotion is a response in worship. It's not what's to drive worship. This is very important for us to think about. So when you walk into the worship service this morning, let me say this. Your emotions should not stir your worship. Does that make sense? I believe that a lot of times worship services get this order inverted, and they try to use emotions, what he's saying, to stir up worship, generate, if you will, worship. And worship is not generated by emotion. Rather, spirit and truth, emotion, and let me say this, worship is not void of emotion. Worship is not void of emotion. Worship should not be void of emotion. I think last week I shared, be consistent with how you are emotionally engaged with other things. If you're a sports fan, how do you respond to a big score by your team? If you're a reader, how do you respond to a good book or whatever, be consistent with how you respond to things. But emotion should not lead your worship.
the truth should lead your worship into emotion. So your emotion should be a response, kind of like this. If you have a relationship with someone, if you're married, or if you have a relationship with somebody you're very close to, if your relationship is based on an emotion of how you feel when you're around that person, well, when you've been married for more than a year, sometimes those emotions, if your relationship is driven off that emotion, you're going to run into problems if it's always how you feel in a relationship. Am I right, married folks? If it's just how you feel in a relationship, you probably will have problems, but you will have problems in that relationship. But if your relationship is based on what is true and what you know and what you have committed to, then that relationship is going to be much stronger and built on something different. And we shouldn't expect something different when we're relating to God. If it's merely based on emotions or how God makes us feel, you're going to run into lots of ups and downs in your spiritual relationship, and you're going to have lots of problems. But if your relationship with God is based on what you know to be true about God, then you are going to respond in emotional worship often. But it's not going to be a roller coaster ride of, I'm being obedient, now I'm in sin, I'm being obedient. And this is what I find a lot in people that are driven by emotion. I see it a lot. They're gung-ho about Jesus, and then they're doing drugs a week later. And then they're gung-ho about Jesus, and then they're drunk. And it's because a lot of it's based on, I need this feeling to relate to God, rather than this is what I know to be true. And I know that's harder for certain people. I'm not being critical of people, but I'm saying this is what I've seen, because people are dependent upon emotion to drive how they relate to God, rather than this is who God is, and I have to, and I'm responding to who God is. Does that make sense?
Okay. Just speaking from experience, one of the biggest joys I found was that, you know, when I started learning more of the Word,
yeah,
just the security, because it was a miserable roller coaster. If you base God off of your feelings, I mean, you would think He was mad at you or you did something,
yeah,
and it was miserable. And just, you know, from my background and my friends and everything, I've heard the statement, we've always, you know, often said, I can't feel God. But if you know the truth, you know that...
You don't have to feel God.
You don't have to feel, yeah, Him. And so I'm just so thankful to know that.
Dang, that's good. Thank you, Amy. Yeah, that's an important thing to say. I'm glad you said that. You don't have to feel God. God's not a feeling. Anyway, you don't have to feel Him. You just need to know.
Right.
That's good. That's when Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. John 18:36, when it was before Pilate. For this reason I came, to bear witness to the truth, not to make you feel like you feel me. The Holy Spirit is not here for feelings. He's here to guide us into what? What did Jesus say? When the Spirit comes, He will guide you into not that He will make you feel me. And many people view the Spirit as, oh, He's the one that you're going to feel. Oh man, I feel the Spirit. Well, that's good, but that's not His purpose. His purpose is that you know. Barry?
I can't add anything.
Okay. All right. Now, with that said, let me just guard the other side of saying, if you have smoke in a worship service or music or lights that are down, I don't necessarily think you're wrong. Let me say it like that. I don't think that's always wrong. I know that certain generations relate to certain styles and musics and those sorts of things, so I don't always think they're wrong. I do think most of the time when you have that, I question to say, what's the motivation behind what's going on in the room? Is it trying to emotionalize and generate that worship? If that's the case, then I think that's probably not, that's, the motives are wrong there. But I don't necessarily think you're always wrong when you have that stuff. So I don't want to go out and say, look, y'all go find all churches with lots of loud music and criticize them. No, I don't think that's what we need to do. But I do think we need to say, for me and for the church, if you are in charge of leading in worship in a church, and some of you in this room are part of a worship team, what are you trying to do as a worship team? You're trying to give them truth so that people can worship. Or if you're part of any sort of leadership in a Bible study group or anything like that, what are you trying to do? Stacy, Dixie, y'all lead ladies group on Wednesday night. You're trying to give your ladies the truth so that they go, yes, yes, yes. Awana teachers, y'all are trying to give the kids the truth so they can understand and worship God. All right?
But all too often, though, worship is tied to your perception of how well the service goes. Like, we've got family members that will leave church and say, man, it was a really good service today. The worship music was just really good, and the lights were flickering just right, and yep. They leave there thinking they got a really good service. They never talk about the message. They never talk about the meat of what they were told. It was all based on the entertainment value.
Feelings, yeah.
But if they have a session where the band person or leader didn't do what they thought they should, they would come back and say, yeah, it was just wasn't there for me today.
Yeah.
Because the music didn't drive them to get that response. And so a large portion of the service is focused on the entertainment value of the service.
The emotional
not
value, yeah.
That piece that MacArthur's talking about, which is delivering truth. You know, we've had discussions in the past about songs at this church and content. You know, do we want to sing songs that maybe don't proclaim truth and have just an emotional value to them? I mean, I've had that conversation with Belinda multiple times. And, you know, there's a reason that we pick the songs that we pick. You know, you're trying to convey message through song. That's what it should be. It shouldn't be, I'm trying to make Lynette feel good about herself today when she leaves. I want to be able to convey message through song.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
know, that's a big difference and a contrast. And I agree with what Amy's saying. There's a lot of times I did it myself. I left there feeling worse than I did when I got there because it was like it was all an emotional response and this constant up and down of questioning yourself about how you feel that day based on what you've heard in a service. So.
It was neat when Amy sang because she didn't have the words to the song like we normally would, like when we're singing a song. She had the scripture up there, and you could see that it was almost exactly from scripture.
It would have been. If
probably
it was
King
James.
Right
translation. Hey, she told me to do it in ESV. It didn't matter, but I saw where you can click down and do the King James.
But it was just neat. Yeah. Even if it wasn't word for word, it was so close just to see that it was actually following it. And there's a church, and I can't remember the name of it. Can't remember if the branch of it, but they only sing the scriptures.
Yeah.
There's one in Florida. I remember when we were in Florida a couple years ago. I looked it up. We didn't make it there, but I thought that would have been neat to go and see how they tied in music that's just to scriptures.
In that book that we read this past summer about worship and how worship is not only about the music or the songs, it's about corporately. We should be able to hear each other.
Mm. Yeah.
We should be able to hear us corporately singing together, and that should spur on our worship. Not that the music is so overpowering that we can't corporately come together and hear our voices in praise together to God. You know, not just
good point.
Not just the music.
And that was one of the points that I picked up on. We were at T4.
Yeah, I was about to say that because that was all hymns, and it was just.
I mean, there is something to be said about hearing the echo of, you know, what 3,000-4,000 men and women just praising with a piano. That's the only thing we had, and it was just phenomenal.
Yeah,
it was very moving.
That was all hymns.
Yep.
We listen to that CD daily, at least once a day.
And Jason said that going up there, how powerful. Wasn't it like 12,000?
Yeah, it was.
People?
It was a bunch.
It was a bunch of guys.
10,000.
Yeah,
men,
I think it was around
10. Ladies.
Yeah.
You could literally walk in the rotunda outside and hear it echoing through the halls. So all the vendors, everybody, the people picking up trash outside could hear it.
When you go to Haiti, Jeff, gonna fire you up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh man, it's good. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask. and this may just be more based in tradition, but why don't we do the sermon first and then worship? Is that just tradition, or?
I've tried that, and people didn't like it.
Okay.
Not that we can't try it again. Why don't you ask Belinda? Ask her about that.
We're trying to please
people.
Yes, pastor.
There you go.
Next time
you're the guest pastor.
Yeah. No, I'm for that. Like Jason says, we're trying to please people or do the right thing.
What makes it the right thing? Okay, that makes you question. What makes it backwards and you just said?
If it's better.
If the purpose is to send the truth in your mind and then outflow of worship,
it seems like it would make more sense.
I actually had that same thought as I was watching John MacArthur's video. I thought, you know, it seems like that would be a much better way to do it.
It's kind of rhythmic, too. Y'all have like three songs, a special, sit down, stand up.
We're like a Catholic community, man.
I can do this in my sleep with my eyes.
Catholic community.
We used to stand up, sit down, depending on the song. We do not do that anymore. Yeah. We stand up.
I can enjoy worship a lot better if it were after the service, because Gavin will not be there.
I can't miss the whole thing.
I have to add something. Part of the issue, I think, with adults and maybe struggling to grasp worship and really enjoy it is because for their childhood on into their adolescence, they're separated from it. So they're not seeing people worshiping. You can do that at any age and benefit from it. So something for you to chew on for yourself, but yeah, I know it can be hard, but it's worth it to show your children how wonderful it is to worship.
And we've done that.
You don't have to wait till they're old, because then they've already got it in their mind. They're used to the silly songs and the lack of content, and it's like a hurdle that they have to get over.
It's not a bad thing to make participation in the worship service be a part of their day on at church.
It's something I'm really passionate about, so I'll spare you my soapbox.
I agree 100%.
All right, I'm going to close out. Oh, man. I got a 7-minute video in 4 minutes, so I'm not going to close out with that video. But what I will say is I want to, I guess we'll just wrap up with the idea that I want to challenge and encourage you to think of ways that you can worship. And give you this final thought. If the truth about who God is doesn't stir you emotionally, then there may be something you need to address in your spiritual heart. Saying this, and I'm not asking everybody to jump up and down and do crazy things in church, but I am saying when you hear the scripture, when Amy got up there and sang that song and the scripture was just told to us about the character and nature of God, it was moving because it was about God. You know, Stephen's moving away for 3 months during the week. If when he talks to Lynette in the evening after work, if he's not glad to talk to her, to his wife at the end of the day, and hear her voice and know that he's going to be able to communicate with his bride, then something's probably wrong in their relationship. If he's not ready to hear her complain about everything that happened that day, no. Then something may be awry in the relationship. So let me give you this final thought of encouragement. We've seen in Revelation 4, worship. We've seen John see the vision of God. We've seen in the scripture, when people see God, they fall on their face, they worship, they exalt God for who he is. So I want to encourage you, if you are in a place where you don't have any personal worship time outside of church, or where you're struggling in church, to connect and to have an emotional response, then examine the relationship and say, am I honoring God for who he is? Do I really know who God is? Do I need to deal with sin in my life? Do I have some sort of spiritual problem that's prohibiting my worship from being worship in spirit and in truth? And so that would be an application I want to give you today, is to think through that. If your worship is not right, then it could be that your relationship is not right and you've got some business to take care of within your relationship. And this is why confession, and this is why studying God's word on regular intervals are important, because if we don't read the Bible, if we hear it once a week at church, there's probably a reason why we're not worshiping in a powerful way, because we're distant from God. So that could be it. Let's close with a word of prayer. And I want to encourage you to worship the Lord today and lift up His name and truly have an emotional response to the truth and what you see today. Craig, would you close us, please?
Lord, thank you for those here today, Lord, to study your word and grow and have a better understanding of how you would have us to live and to worship, Lord. We pray for safe travels, Lord, as people come to and from church. And be with Brother Keith as he brings us the message this morning, that it may stir us to live for you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.